There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Snap Happy.
Mohammed, welcome back. It's good to have you in the studio.
Always great to be here.
And Nerissa, we haven't met before, but you have been on with Mark.
Yes, I came once before last year.
And can you say what the experience was like?
I was nervous, but you made it awesome.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. It's amazing. No one ever says that, usually.
Not really.
So we're going to talk about photography today. If anyone's got any questions that you would like to send in, Mohammed is the owner of Gulf Photo Plus. Nerissa, what is your official title?
I'm the program manager at Gulf Photo Plus. So I work on GPP Photo Week, which just passed in February. And I also manage some of our partnerships and programs.
Okay, so we've got two people here who are really knowledgeable when it comes to photography and
equipment. Nerissa is also a very good photographer. She's very modest and she shoots film.
Ah, brilliant. Which is totally making a comeback. We always talk about that, I feel, lately.
Yeah.
So yes, questions. 4001, or you can use the free DubaiEye app if you would like to ask anything at all to do with photography. But we are going to start with a great story that's opened up a question of the things that we share on social media that we love, should we be sharing them? What do you share that you love more?
I like to share what I hashtag my real Dubai, because I feel that that part of Dubai gets overlooked and neglected. And I feel that, you know, Dubai gets a bit of a bad rep when people come in from abroad. They're like, oh, Dubai's so artificial and so fake and so plastic. And, you know, some of that is merited. You know, let's be honest about that. But I think that what people overlook is that Dubai has layers. It has nuances and it has, you know, it's very vibrant. And there are people from all over the world who live here and they bring in so much. Whether it's their food or whether it's their culture. I mean, just walk in there in the evenings and there are people doing Tai Chi from China, and there are people from India who are playing this like drum instrument. There are people who set up badminton courts. And I think that's something that's really wonderful about Dubai and not very well known and appreciated.
What about you, Nerissa? What do you share on social media that you love?
Well, in terms of my posts, I love to share portraits I take of people that are close to me. So whether it's my friends or my family. So definitely, I do share things that are quite special.
What about you, Mark? Everything.
Loads of pictures of me.
No, selfies.
Yeah, just, you know, my life in general and you know, places that I go to, places that I visit, the dog, fishing, things like that.
Yeah. I like to share breakfasts that I've made. I don't know why, I just feel so proud of them.
Do you like rate them or do you just share your breakfast? Do you say this was great or like go to this place?
No, I mean breakfast that I've actually made, because I've moved into a new house with some friends and it's my job to make breakfast for everyone every morning.
Right.
So I'm trying to get a bit more...
Your job, isn't it?
experimental with what I'm doing. So this morning, for instance, I made at the farmer's market at the weekend, last weekend, they had tiny sweet potatoes. So I made like a hash in the oven with sweet potatoes and peppers and everything, and then I cracked some eggs on top.
Nice.
And then just gave that to them. And it looks really good in a picture.
Wow. Did it match their expectations?
Oh, I think it did match their expectations. Well, the story which we're about to let you listen to is actually a beautiful video done by a group called Vlog Brothers. Now, it gives you an idea of the danger of sharing something that you love. It's all about the broccoli tree. Take a listen to this.
So imagine you're a photographer living near the southern shore of Lake Vättern in Sweden. On your commute to work each day, you pass a tree in a lakeshore park that looks kind of like a huge stalk of broccoli. And the broccoli tree always makes you smile. There's just something about a single tree in an otherwise empty landscape, something that makes farmers harvest around them and you too put them on album covers. And then one day in the spring of 2013, you take a picture of the broccoli tree on your iPhone camera and post it to Instagram. There's a bit of dirt on your lens. It's certainly not the fanciest picture you've ever taken, but people like it. 43 people, in fact. Over the next few months, you upload a few more photographs of the broccoli tree. The pictures aren't only about the tree, but also about the life happening around it. A bird in the sky, a jogger, a happy couple. In November, you post a picture of the tree with a caption saying that you're reminded of an old quote. You don't take a picture. You make a picture. That one gets 107 likes. By April of 2014, 11 months into the project, you're posting a few pictures of the broccoli tree every week, and you decide to give it its own Instagram. The tree becomes a focus of your creative life. You photograph it through the seasons in rain and snow and sunshine, capturing the people who line the beach for the brief and glorious Swedish summer, luxuriating in the broccoli tree's shade. Your audience grows into the thousands. In the summer of 2015, you have an exhibition of your broccoli tree photographs at the broccoli tree. And your pictures keep getting better as the project becomes more popular. The Broccoli Tree calendar is a success, and people all over the world buy broccoli tree prints for their homes. By 2016, the Broccoli Tree project is so successful that the broccoli tree is becoming, like, famous. People visit it as a tourist destination, and you find yourself in the surreal position of photographing the broccoli tree while people are photographing themselves with the broccoli tree. Type the broccoli tree into Google Maps, and you're taken there immediately. You can even street view it. Sure, by sharing the broccoli tree so widely, it has come to belong less to you and your close friends, but it's amazing that so many people are seeing your photographs, and that what started as you looking at a tree on your commute has become this huge deal. The broccoli tree now has over 27,000 followers on Instagram, which means that you are the photographic force behind the social internet's single most famous tree. And then, on September 27th, 2017, you go to photograph the tree in the morning, but something is different. Upon close examination, it becomes obvious. In a furious and heartbroken Instagram post, you write, "You absolutely cannot unsaw a tree." And indeed, the damage proves irreversible. A few days later, it's gone. The broccoli tree, once your broccoli tree, is no more. You loved something. You shared it. Many people loved it too. And then one or a few people decided to cut it down. Given enough time, such people will always cut down such trees. The Joshua tree from that U2 album cover? Gone. The sacred golden spruce tree in British Columbia? Gone. The location of the oldest tree in the world, a 5,000-year-old bristlecone pine somewhere in California, is kept secret, because otherwise we all know what would happen. To share something is to risk losing it, especially in a world where sharing occurs at tremendous scale and where everyone seems to want to be noticed, even if only for cutting down a beloved tree. If you'd never photographed the broccoli tree, it might still be there for you to see on your commute every day. It might still provide shade to the real people who live with you on the southern bank of that lake. But then again, the faraway people who loved your pictures of the broccoli tree were real too. They took shelter under its canopy as well, even if only virtually. And the truth is, if we hoard and hide what we love, we can still lose it. Only then we're alone in the loss. You can't unsaw a tree, but you can't unsee one either. And the broccoli tree is gone, but its beauty survives. Hank, I'll see you on Friday.
Oh, you know what? I've just posted the video to the Dubai Eye Facebook page if people would like to actually see what happened to the tree. It's really worth it, isn't it? Because it's powerful to hear, but it's even more powerful to see in a way. Because it's such a beautiful tree.
And wonderful photographs too. And you can see them in the snow, in the summer. So definitely worth checking out.
People are horrible. People always want to spoil something that other people love, don't they? What is that about human nature?
I think this story really exemplifies the good things about social media, but also the pitfalls, right? So here you have this, like, this tree would not have been known had it not been for this Instagram post, right? But then on the B side, you have people who heard about it, knew about it, became famous, and then there were some, you know, not so nice people who went and, you know, vandalized it, which is a shame.
Its success was its downfall in the end. That's just so sad. And we're going to stay with social media. And Instagram are obviously feeling the heat after changes that they made to the algorithm, because they are making more changes. Can't wait to tell you what they're going to be. Snap happy. Please feel free to text any questions on photography if you've got any. 4001 or use the free to buy eye app. And talking about Instagram today, because they are making changes now. Is this a case of the people have spoken, the people have won?
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think we can get excited yet. I think that they have noticed that people are really upset, and I think it has been driving engagement down. And guess what happens when it drives engagement down? People spend less money on ads. So I think it's not because they're benevolent or they really care. It's because they make money, and they have seen that it's probably dented their sales. And also, they've been quite ambivalent and ambiguous about what changes they're actually making. All they've said is that your feed is going to feel fresher. And
well, I would argue I do think that Instagram puts an effort into updating the app constantly, so you always see changes and ways to engage more. So they were saying it's going to be more fresh because there'll be a new post button, which will refresh your feed without making you scroll all the way back to the top. So
do you think people really like that, though? You know, we get used to an app, we get used to it, and then these subtle changes that we can't
people hate
we can't
it.
Get used to.
I mean, look what happened
don't
with Snapchat.
Like it.
Yeah. Everyone was going crazy when they made those changes on Snapchat. People hate change.
Yeah. Well, it's not only that. I think what Instagram did and, you know, what they felt compelled to do because, you know, they Facebook bought Instagram to make money was they started, you know, putting in a lot of other people's posts because they wanted them to spend money on advertising. So if you want traction on your post, you pay for it. And it has to go somewhere if you're paying for it. And it came into people's feeds. And, at, you know, at first you had a few posts, you know, by brands that would kind of come in your chronological feed. And that was acceptable in the sense that, you know, it didn't, you know, radically alter your experience. But when they started, you know, showing people's posts that had no relevance to you or, you know, it wasn't interesting, then it started, you know, affecting people. And I spend less time, much lesser time on Instagram.
I'm never on it anymore.
Mm. And do you think you'll go back to it?
We use it for work at GPP, so, I have to kind of see what's going on there, or like some people are using it for messaging, but I don't interact with it the way I used to. I used to find really interesting work, and, you know, it's now, you know, I have to go in and remind myself to go to that person's feed because it doesn't show up anymore. What I'm seeing is somebody's, like, you know, a product on it, or I'm seeing...
Is that going to change? They're saying that newer posts will be more easy to see now, but will it be newer posts from everyone or will it still have...
No, I think there will still be an algorithm behind it. So people who are supposedly relevant to you will pop up.
Wow. It's just annoying that, isn't it? Because it's turned into a business tool rather than something that we were enjoying as a social
tool. I mean, at GPP, we were discovering new talents. We were, you know, seeing interesting things. We were seeing things that, you know, photojournalists or documentary photographers or art photographers were posting. And that has become increasingly hard. Like the other day, somebody told me about, hey, have you seen this? And I was like, you know, I have. I know this. And then when I went in, I realized that there were all these posts that I'd missed because it would not show up on my feed. And, you know, that was really annoying. And it really, you know, diluted the experience of Instagram.
Do we have many Instagram users listening in? Affordable01, let us know if you are interested in Instagram still or if it's completely dropped off your radar as well. Because for me, I do feel like it's somewhere just for influencers nowadays and businesses. Mm-hmm. And maybe we need a social network. I don't know, Vero, which everyone's talking about, the new Instagram. I don't know whether that's the one. And maybe if it is, then they need to, before it even gets off the ground, ban influencers, ban businesses, ban anything to do with...
Or at least make it a lot more clear and explicit that this is a sponsored ad and so you
tweet them. But even then, when they scroll past, you get sick of seeing them, don't you?
Yeah.
But how do you define an influencer? I mean, like an influencer and a photographer these days, it's hard to really draw the line.
I don't know. It's a difficult question, that, isn't it? How do you... Tim, what is an influencer?
I remember we were talking about Instagram, Mohammed, once, when you were saying that they weren't just going to go with the square pictures, that they were going to do oblong.
Which you can do now,
Which you can do now. And there was a big hoo-ha about that.
Right.
But we all got over it, didn't we? You know,
But that didn't negatively impact your experience on Instagram, whether a picture was square or not. I think what they've done now is they are defining for you what your feed should look like and taking the joy out of it. And that, I think, has really negatively impacted people's experience and, you know, driving people to turn off or be annoyed or spend less time on it. The other thing that we're forgetting is that Instagram stories became really popular because it killed Snapchat. Yeah. And that has also impacted the way you deal with Instagram. Like, you know, if I'm spending any time on Instagram, it's really on stories and not on other things. And that what you see on stories is a lot more frivolous. It's a lot more trivial. It's not, you know, what a post can do where you can read captions in detail and things like that. But again, that's my experience of Instagram. For a lot of people, maybe they want to see what people are doing that evening or what they're having for breakfast or, you know.
or what Steph's cooking for breakfast.
Yeah.
I would love to see the youth get some empowerment and take their lives offline. That's what I would love to see in the future. And I do think that a majority of them will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see people, this whole delete Facebook campaign happening since the Cambridge Analytica story hit the news. And I think that, you know, perhaps that will be a catalyst for Facebook examining, you know, their, you know, very kind of blatant and naked pursuit of money and you know, control. And I think if that helps them understand that the consumer experience is important, if they do it well, they can still make money and not just be about making money, then perhaps that will change. But
Mark's never getting off it, are you?
No, I'll be the last man standing, I think, on Facebook, won't I? You know, flying the flag there.
You're running it for Mark.
You know, but I wouldn't want any new apps to come in, and you've got to learn them all again and replace it all, right. and learn how to navigate it. I don't want that anymore.
I did open a Vero account, actually.
Nice.
Have you got one, Arissa?
No, but one of our instructors, Caleb, he's all about Vero. He's getting off of Instagram, so...
It's his fault that I got one. He told me about it. And I loved it at first, but I've forgotten to open it.
Right.
And when you forget to open one of your new apps, you're like, why am I forgetting to open it? Because it's completely pointless.
Right.
It's crazy that we're all spending this time on social media, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm advocating for people to go out and like talk to real people. Yeah. And, you know, when I take the metro, for example, when I go walking, it's just so refreshing to like meet a stranger when you're having like a chai and like just talk to that person, you know? And I think that is such a different and interesting experience, and we're richer for it in many ways.
And in a way, we took it for granted, and now it's gone in some aspects, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really sad.
Yeah,
it is sad. Yeah, even I agree with you on that.
Oh, good, that's nice to hear. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about an influencer actually on Instagram who did something that's quite interesting. Faked an entire holiday and managed to get away with it as a bit of a project.
Snap happy. That's better.
I would have made you do one then.
Yeah.
You hadn't pressed
off
that
the top
button.
Of my head.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Ooh, what would he have gone for? That would have been tricky, wouldn't it?
We have got Narissa with us and Mohammed from Gulf Photo Plus joining us for Snap Happy, talking about photography and travel. We were talking about Instagram and social media so far on the show. And I want to talk about this blogger, Caroline Stritch, 194,000 followers. Tell us this story, Narissa. What did she do?
So I believe it was her 32nd birthday, and she told everyone it was her 22nd birthday.
Disgraceful.
And what she actually did over the weekend was stay home and watch movies and chill. But she told everyone she was flying to Disneyland for a day. And she hacked her own Instagram and posted a photo of her at Disneyland. And then on her blog, she explained that was really not the case, and even the photo of her was through an app called FaceUp, which sort of like contours your face without all the makeup. And so there was a lot of like polishing and...
The completely fake picture.
Yeah, it was like a fake picture. It's interesting. She basically explained that her Instagram feed is like a polished version of her life. When she wakes up in the morning and she has messy hair and her place is a mess, that's not what she's showing you on her feed. So I think it's a lesson to all of us to take people's lives to realize that it's not real.
Take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, as we exactly.
would say. It sounds like a lot of work doing all that, doesn't it? You know, and
hey, you
all this messing
believe.
Around just to...
Yeah, the amount of work though that does go in. When you look at people's Instagram pictures, and there's a few I can think of off the top of my head, I won't say who they are, but it's so fake. And you look at it and you're like, but are teenagers looking at it going, it's so fake? Or are they looking at it going, I wish my life was like that. How can I make my life like that?
I think the latter, sadly, and that's what's really, I think, dangerous as a society going forward. And, you know, her project, or the reason she did this, was inspired by this really amazing book. I heard this author on a podcast, Will Storer. He has a new book out called Selfie, How We Become So Self-Obsessed and What It's Doing to Us. And, you know, he was talking about this idea of, you know, why we take all these selfies and why we feel compelled to. And he was talking about this idea of how, you know, our world is moving towards this very neoliberal direction where, you know, there's this huge inequality and people are looking at ways to project themselves because they feel they have no agency and they're helpless. And so the selfie is a cry for a help in some sense. And I think that, you know, we can laugh about it all we want, but I think that that's something that, you know, people are feeling so powerless to be able to impact the world around us. And, you know, with modern day politics and, you know, inequality, this is a cry for help. And you know, that's what she was trying to demonstrate in some extent.
You know what I was thinking yesterday? I wanted to check my teeth, right? See if there's anything in my teeth after lunch, because we did a live broadcast from Index. So I put the selfie camera on my phone, and I never take selfies. And I literally had to sneak around the corner, because it's such a horrible thing when you're not used to seeing yourself.
Right.
And it was awful. I have a beauty filter. And it was awful. If anyone was to take that off, I'd probably get the shock of my life and drop the phone.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that people are striving for such perfection when the photograph of who you are is not who you are.
Right.
And I hate that kids maybe don't understand that.
Yeah. I think also we live in an age where if you didn't photograph it, it didn't happen. So it goes back to the broccoli tree, you know, like if you go to the gym, if you don't take a picture of yourself at the gym, then you never went to the gym. Or if you look beautiful one day, you know, you want to share that with everyone versus just feeling beautiful. So I think kind of like what Mo said, like it's sort of a cry for help. Like we're asking for attention because maybe we don't feel it.
So it's insecurity.
I think it's a little bit of insecurity.
See, I have a bit of reverse psychology with this because I love secrets. So even the most mundane of things, I like to take the photo and not share it because I feel like I'm keeping a little secret.
Mm.
Nice.
It's really tricky though. I don't know where it's going to end. That's what the frightening thing.
20 years later, you'll publish all your secrets.
But also, that beauty filter that I was talking about on my phone, I'm sure a lot of people have that now. I've got a Huawei and it was just on there.
Right.
And I'm not taking it off. You know what I mean? Like, there will, when I look back at my life when I'm an older lady,
right,
I will be seeing a fake version of myself and not even the real me. But then someone took a picture of me with a Polaroid the other day. And looking at that, I look different as well. So our parents probably didn't see the real version of them growing up, but we have the ability to be able to see the real version of us.
Right.
Shouldn't we be grabbing that?
Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, there's merits to documentation, but when it gets a little bit crazy where people feel the need to like document everything and also have inflate the reality around it, then that's problematic.
I mean, you said that you take a lot of portraits of your friends.
Yes.
I mean, do you kind of beautify them up after you've taken the picture, or is it what came, you know, what you saw through your eye?
No, I appreciate photos as they are. Like, there's something to me that's so beautiful about a raw image. And I still think that they feel that they look beautiful. It's just in their natural state. That's what attracts me most. But I was going to say, as like an 20, 30-year-old, it's... we have the awareness to understand like the difference between a selfie and or like feeling amazing about yourself without having to photograph yourself. But the teenagers in this age, they don't have that awareness. And that's what is sort of scary, I feel.
And no one's living in the moment. Like I was at a conference this morning and I have to say I counted the people who were across me, how many people were on their phone, and literally was 73% of the people, you know, there were like 34 people and about 27 were on their phones. And there's this conference going on and some facets of it were interesting, but I was like, they are just not in the moment and they are either, you know, going on Amazon to check something, or they're on Instagram, or they're checking emails. And like, you know, we are going to be living our lives like this without being present. And that's really sad. And I hope that there's some kind of watershed moment which makes us realize that. And, you know, I'm finding that I'm really enjoying not spending a lot of time on, you know, my social media, but I still can do much, much better. I want to get a phone that is stripped down of all the, you know, embellishments and just have one that where I can have my, you know, phone and WhatsApp to be able to communicate with people. And like, I can do all the stuff online, but on my computer later when I want to do it, you know, as opposed to feeling like I need to do it.
Do you know what I've done, which has given me so much more headspace? I cancelled my contract on my phone, mm-hmm, and I went pay as you go. Mm. And then because I'm really stingy,
right,
I was like, I'm not going to put any money on it. I'm going to see how long I can survive without any money on it. And now if it rings, which it does maybe once every 3 days, I have to answer it,
right,
because I can't ring anyone back. So it's made me more reactive to answering the phone.
Right.
Also, I'm only ever online when I'm in a place that's got Wi-Fi.
Next.
And I don't search for Wi-Fi. So if I happen to be somewhere, I'll be like, oh, I'll just check in. But I can't be on it in the car at traffic lights. I can't be on it. In a queue, I can't be on it. So I'm forced to do other things.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I feel like it's changed me a bit.
Yeah, I think we should all live in the moment and go take pictures of real things. So with that, we can quickly talk about three places that we feel we can take some good pictures. Yeah, so I think Karama and Satwa, and I don't mean like just going to Karama Shopping Center where that is. I mean, that's nice and that's interesting, but if you're just going to go off the beaten track and go to some of the alleys where old Karama is, you have some really interesting light there in the afternoons, people. Satwa is very similar. Satwa is great at night. It's really bustling and live and vibrant. And this is a place where, you know, there's so many photo ops and people For the most part, I have never had anybody in Satwa say, no, you can't take my picture. And, you know, alongside taking pictures, speak to them. And, you know, you meet some wonderful characters, and that's always great. And then the last place is the Global Village. Like, I think it's going to end in about a month's time or something like that. So, and, you know, Global Village, you have opportunities to take street photography, portraits, fireworks, so many things. And that's one place where no one's going to say, oh, you can't take pictures or you can't bring your tripod. They're totally open to that. So, you know, I think just these three places offers a world of photo ops, and also, you know, enjoy the good weather while it lasts, and switch off your data on your when you're out there and take photos, like live in the moment, enjoy it. Look at the light, look at people's faces, look at the textures.
You mentioned two places, both in old Dubai there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because old Dubai is wonderful too.
Yeah, more photogenic, I think.
Also, Global Village. My mates are raving about it at the minute. Everyone that I speak to is loving Global Village for the shopping.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
A friend of mine came home with a big poof the other day.
Yeah.
And like really good prices. So if you're looking for something interior wise and you haven't got time to get along to Index, maybe check out Global Village.
Yeah, we've got some amazing shows as well going on up there.
Well, Liam Payne's going to be there.
He is this weekend.
As part of your 15 dirham ticket.
That's right, 15 dirhams. That's the other thing. So it's, you know, it's a trek to get out there, but 15 dirhams, and it's open from 4 to midnight and 1 a.m. in the weekends. But and you know, a lot of the things that you get there, you wouldn't get anywhere else. And that's, some of these people just come up and set up shop. They get a 6-month visa for the shopping festival, for the Global Village. And it's definitely lots of photo ops.
And there was a girl actually who's a friend of a friend who went to the Istanbul stand in Global Village. And the guy had like said to her, oh, you know, I normally sell this in Istanbul, but I'm here for now and then I'll go back there. She was like, yeah, I bought some stuff. And I was like, nice story, but I don't really believe it's from Istanbul. And then she went traveling to Istanbul and saw him in a market selling the same stuff.
Really?
She was like, it's real.
No, most of the people there are some people who are branches of places already here, come in and they have a special visa for the Global Village to be here to set up shop. So I think you can get some really good finds.
Yeah, I think the pavilions now, I was there about 3-4 weeks ago on a tour, and I think the pavilions are a lot more authentic than they used to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk into Morocco, you're going to get produce from there, Philippines, wherever.
Yeah. I don't know about this year, but I remember last year I was very annoyed that Africa was a country. But yeah.
And you can't have it all.
The light is really nice if you go around 4, and then when it hits golden hour and then the sunset, the scenes are amazing.
Snap happy. We've decided to keep you around for a little bit longer because questions started coming in. People were a little bit slow with it, but they have started coming in now. 4001, if you've got any questions about photography that you would like to have answered, we would love to hear from you. And just take advantage of these guys being here. I know what I'm like. I go into a camera shop and I'm like, I have no idea. Is the most expensive one the best? Is the second most expensive one the best? Anyway, one of the texts that came in, I want to read it to you because it made me smile when I read it. Don't know who it's from. It's an anonymous one, but it says, I'm so happy listening into the discussion. I know I'm not alone by trying to live in the moment, not looking at my phone when I'm out with other people. It takes discipline. It does. But life is so precious. Why waste all of these wonderful moments? You got to be in the moment, not taking a selfie or with half of your mind on the people around you. There's so much in life to enjoy. Don't lose these moments. And that's what you got to be teaching your kids. But I think it's easier said than done.
No, for sure. I think that if you just take stock at the end of the day of how much time you spent on your phone or on screens, whether it's the iPads or, you know, and just realize what you could be doing. It could be a simple conversation with your loved ones. It could be just going for a walk, or it could just be observing things around you. And I think that it will definitely make your life richer and you know, much more worth living.
Do you know what I always think about? Doing this job, right, 2 hours every single day, we have to have no phones on. All we can do is sit here and talk to people for 2 hours a day.
Right.
And I think it's really good for you to have that.
Therapeutic.
It is quite therapeutic. And then I think there's some people who don't have that forced conversation time, who will get home after work, after spending all day in the office on a computer, and open their laptop again. And I just don't know mentally what that's doing to people, not having that interaction.
Yeah, and I think we'll see the effects of it as we, you know, as we progress, but it can't be good. It definitely can't be good.
Another text came in from Chris. He said, I'm a bird photographer and I want a new camera. choosing between the Canon 5D Mark 1V or the 7D Mark 3. Any help on that?
Sure. So I'm assuming this is the bird of the aviary kind. I would suggest the 7D Mark 3 for a couple of reasons. One is it has a cropped sensor, so it's great for zooming in. And when you're shooting birds, you want to use long lenses, and it means that you can get much closer. It's also a faster camera. In terms of the frames per second that you can take. So, you know, when you're shooting wildlife, you're shooting, your shutter is continuously running, so you get that picture.
So this is birds in flight.
Yes, yes. Or even sometimes you need to, you know, be in the right place, and, you know, you want to be able to shoot continuously. So the 7D Mark III is great for that. It's got a really good build quality for being roughed up, and, you know, a lot of sports, wildlife, and action photographers pick this camera. Even though the 5D Mark IV has some other features and higher megapixels, you don't need all those. The 7D Mark III is actually the better choice for wildlife and sports and action photography, for sure.
Would you agree on that?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. The 7D, so it's great for sports and wildlife photography.
How much are you looking at for one of those?
I don't want to be quoted on this, but I think it would be probably around the 6,000, 7,000 there mark, maybe between 5 and 7,000 there is what I'd say for the 7D Mark III versus the 5D Mark IV, which I know is about 12,000. So it's definitely also the better camera, not just because it's cheaper for this specific purpose.
Can you pick them up secondhand?
Yes, for sure. And I definitely recommend people do that. But, you know, also do their due diligence, take their own memory card. And when they're meeting that person, if they've met them on Dubizzle or on a Facebook group, to put their card in, take a picture, bring their own lens, perhaps just make sure that, you know, the picture looks good and the integrity of the camera is there. Ask for a receipt. And sometimes you can suss out a person just by how they communicate with you when you're doing.
Ask for a receipt.
Yeah, why not? Of course.
Of you buying the camera, not of their receipt when they bought the camera.
Because if you're buying something that's that much money, you're going to keep your receipt, right? So if you don't have a receipt,
I don't
you
know.
Could ask.
I'm not a receipt keeper.
No?
No.
Not for a warranty? Or
nope, for nothing.
Okay, even if it's like 10,000
stays in the plastic bag. Wow.
But it's also good to check out different brands. Just because you've used one for a few years, you really never know. So I switched from Canon to Sony.
Right.
And now I'd likely switch to Fuji. But
Yeah. So it depends. I mean, you know, perhaps this person has Canon lenses, then they can stick to that. But again, you can evaluate what size, you know, what's important. Is it, do you want to have portability? Is the size and weight matter? If that's the case, definitely mirrorless is something to go with.
A few more texts coming in. Ollie says, summer is fast approaching. Are you still doing your walking tours outside? How long will they go on for?
Yes, so we actually have two more trails left, sadly, for the end of the season. One is on April 10th, correct me?
April 19th.
Okay, thank you. And then we have one on in May.
May 10th, from 5:45 to 10 p.m. for 595 dirham.
And this is in Dera. This is the Knife by Knights, my favorite tour. And
I've done this.
Yeah.
I love this tour. I would say if you've got anyone in town, visitors-wise, this is such an amazing introduction to
and
the city.
And even if you're in town and you're intimidated by old Dubai because you don't know where to go, you don't know if it's, you know, safe enough, or you don't know as a individual whether, you know, you'll kind of navigate your way, we take you around like the nooks and crannies of Dera, and also introduce you to some wonderful street food and a lot of photo ops. And I always, you'll see the guys in the work really make fun of me because they're like, you know, I come in and say, I think I need to be at this tour because I need to take some behind the scenes pictures for, you know, or sometimes I'll go in and just join them for the second half at dinner, or just surprise people. But I love being on this tour, and I love this tour because it's just so so much fun, and, you know, the weather is still good, so definitely people should do it.
I remember I went on one during the Ramadan. Is that something you might be doing again this coming Ramadan?
Yes, in fact, on Tuesday we're going for a recce, and we're actually changing the location to Bird Dubai in Gubeba, because we've done the Dera once 3 years in a row, and we feel it'll be a nice refreshing change. And people in Bird Dubai also fast and they have iftar there, and there are these big communal iftars, and so we're excited about that. We're also making them a bit shorter, so people aren't too tired because there's a lot of walking. And and we're also making them a bit more affordable or cheaper. So we're excited. These are our most popular trails, and they sell out as soon as we launch them. So when we have more details, we'll definitely share them.
We've got two more questions to squeeze in quickly.
Sure.
Carl would like to know, realistically, learning to take photographs properly, how much that costs?
So if you're very disciplined, you can learn yourself, you can go on YouTube, you can look at things, but and that's free, right? You just need your time and your attention. And some people just can't do it that way. They need to be in a classroom environment. They need to be with people.
On YouTube, you could also do that with your people with your specific camera would have done videos as well.
Yes. And you can learn the basics and you can learn how to use your camera. And if you find that you don't have the discipline to do that, you can always take a workshop with us and learn over a weekend. That would cost 730 dirhams is what our classes are.
With or without VAT? Feel like I have to ask now.
No, I think that's with VAT.
Because I was so shocked at me water costing 3.25 dirhams today, and I thought VAT.
That's the VAT. Yeah. And how many classes would that be over a weekend?
So it's basically a Friday and a Saturday from 10 to 4. Right. And so it's 8 hours of instruction with lunch break. And so we start talking about, what all the buttons in your camera mean. And we talk about, how to kind of think about composition, and then we do examples and we go outside the classroom and we take pictures and we, tell people how to kind of go in the burst mode, for example. So, in that weekend, they basically have an idea of how the camera works and what exposure means, what aperture means, etc. Right. If you can't do weekends, we have a morning class and that's also very popular. And that's basically like a Sunday, Monday from 9 to 11, and then the following Sunday, Monday, 9 to 11. So that also gives you some time in between the classes to practice and do your exercises. And then we'll have the same thing at an evening, 7 to 9 p.m. for people who are working.
And really super fast. Is it dangerous to leave my camera in the car or use it outside when it's hot?
It's starting to get dangerous with the weather going to the mid-30s now and will only get more dangerous. And as a practice, you don't want to do that. Just keep it with you. Keep it in a cool and dry place. And I've had my filters melt into my camera just by leaving in a couple of hours.
Oh, no. Yeah. That sounds painful.
Very painful.
Yeah, and expensive.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Narissa, Mohammed, thank you so much for joining us from Goal Photo Plus again.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Snap happy.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.